Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way, I think today we're changing the way we hear the world as well as listen to it and figure out what it's doing. This is February 27th, 2024. And I want to apologize right off the top. We are running so late. We're almost 15 minutes late into the show. And that is probably due to the fact that I changed out computers last week. And of course, I loaded Skype and tried to put all the software on that we needed, but I'm still finding there's a few glitchy things. Like, in fact, when I tried to get into Mark's show the other day, or, you know, anticipating and wanting to go over to Facebook, Facebook promptly told me that I had no account and that I had nothing associated with either of my two emails. And so after multiple tries, I just set up a new account. So that's the way it goes, I guess. And so here again this morning, I thought I was all set up with Skype, but we just couldn't get it to go. So those of you who are hanging in there with me, I really appreciate it. And actually, I think it goes along pretty well with what we're talking about today, because I wanted to devote this entire show to really the energy of Pisces. You know, we had the sun go into Pisces on Sunday the 18th, but on last week's show, Mo was my guest. And so I didn't really, you know, we didn't go into depth with Pisces in the way that I really would like to when the sun changes signs and when we're kind of doing a seasonal change. So I thought I'm going to do the whole show on Pisces. But as you know, Pisces is a very impressionable, intuitive, kind of nonverbal sign. Now, I'm a Pisces, you know that. I'm a sun sign Pisces, and it's not as if Pisces is all about the impressions that we pick up. It's about the communication that we do with each other that is not in words. So I can't help but laugh or think that this is quite synchronistic or kind of funny that for whatever reason, trying to get Skype to work, trying to get Zoom to work, trying to get some of these technical things that have to do with communication, they just weren't cooperating. Or rather, maybe it's my Pisces brain couldn't quite get into that rational mode. So I apologize that we're late, but let's just take it like everything else in life. You know, everything can be a teaching moment or a lesson. So as we get into Pisces, another reason I really wanted to talk about Pisces today is not only because the sun moved into Pisces, you know, a week or so ago, but it's because we've got what we call a stellium of planets in Pisces this week. And a stellium, astrologically speaking, is when you've got three or more planets in a sign. But why it's so spectacular this week is because on Wednesday, that's the 28th of February, we've got the sun hooking up with Mercury. We've got Mercury hooking up with the sun and with Saturn, and sun hooking up with Saturn. So we've got this trio of planets that are all hanging out exactly in the same astrological space between 9 and 10 degrees of Pisces, which means they are just melding and joining and trying to figure out how to collaborate and cooperate and put their energies together. Now in Pisces, that's kind of, I'm not going to say it's an easy thing, but Pisces is the ocean. It's that kind of, you know, psychic soup of the zodiac. But on the other hand, each of these planets has a particular meaning or a certain resonance. And so we're going to talk about that in terms of our personalities. And it's not just on Wednesday, but I do think it's fun to have planets all get together like that, to have three important planets get together. And it's worth watching because maybe it's something, you know, it's some kind of little train, so to speak, that you want to hop onto. So that's what we've got, Mercury and the sun and Saturn all getting together on Wednesday. But I hope that you do read Mark's Power Peak, which is the online blog or newsletter, however you want to, you know, talk about it, because I do have an article in Mark's Power Peak every week in which you can figure out where is the moon, what are the planets doing, what are all the cosmic happenings for the week. I call it the cosmic dance. You'll also find a number of articles by many of my colleagues, And I just think it's a great way to stay in touch and to feel connected to what I consider to be my psychic, my metaphysical, my spiritual family. So if you do too, make sure that you sign up for that. And if you're not already signed up, you can go to 12listen.com and there will be a link that you can click and get on the mailing list. And, don't be afraid of it. It's not like a lot of stuff comes out, but on Saturday night, you will get, a link, basically the information to get that newsletter. And I'm especially saying it this week because we're not going to be able to touch upon everything going on this week. Certainly, we're going to talk about that Wednesday energy, and I will try to highlight a few other things that are going on. But let's just go ahead and dive into that Pisces energy. And by the way, the other thing going on this week is Thursday, it's leap day. That's where we add one extra day to the year, and we do that every 4 years. You see, that seems very Piscean to me also. And we could of course do it any time of year. It doesn't have to be in February, but traditionally that's when we do it. But the reason I say it's Piscean is because no matter how rational we want to be or how clever we are with figuring out the world or trying to make everything really specific and very technical, we still end up with this calendar that doesn't accommodate the actual movement of the sun. We say the sun takes, or the earth rather takes 365 days to go around the sun, and that's a year. But it actually takes a little bit longer than that. And so every 4 years, if we don't add an extra day to the calendar, then we're going to eventually just keep slipping and slipping and slipping. And in fact, that leads me to another thing. If you're one of those people, especially if you've got a birthday in the next few months, but if you have a birthday this year and you do, right? If you like to get those solar returns where you see when does the sun come back to the exact moment of my birth? Well, a lot of people, when I run those charts for them, I'll say, oh, let's say their birthday is on April 12th, but I say, well, your solar return is on the 11th. And they're like, what? How can it be on the 11th? Well, that has to do with that extra day. When we move that calendar back by one day or up by one day, however you want to say it, then when we look in to see when does the sun actually get back to that exact point, it's not necessarily going to be on the birthday that you think about. Okay. I get that question a lot. People want to know why that's not exactly on their birthday. So especially in the next few months, that's going to happen. It's going to look like your birthday's a day early, that sort of thing. But as we talk about Pisces, and I'm going to kind of go back into what I consider teacher mode. You may feel like you're at 12 Academy because we're talking about Pisces. And I just want you to get this feel because some of you out there may be saying, you know what? I don't have a single Pisces planet. And that could be true. However, everybody is influenced by all of this cosmic energy on one level or another. Or think about it, just it's out there, right? And so when we've got planets in Pisces, maybe you do find yourself having more of those qualities, maybe those characteristics. But the other thing is, if you look at your chart, you are going to have a house, you're going to have an area of your life that is influenced heavily by a particular sign. In this case, it's going to be Pisces. So you may want to look at that natal chart and say, where do I have Pisces? Because that's where this is maybe going to influence me, or especially this week. When Sun, Mercury, and Saturn are all getting together for their party, that's where maybe you're going to see some things going on in that part of your life. Because, of course, those 12 houses in an astrological chart, each one represents an area of your life. So you may want to know where Pisces is. So, as kind of a quick review of Pisces, think about every single sign in the zodiac. It's a unique combination of an element and a modality. That's how we classify the planets. So it's going to be that water, fire, air, or earth. In this case, Pisces is water. The water element resonates with the heart. It resonates with emotions and feelings and intuition and sensitivity. Those are the signs that are receptive and perceptive. We're talking about Cancer and Scorpio and Pisces, and they're subjective. And I want you to think about that too, because, oftentimes we're involved in these conversations. We're involved in some kind of rational pursuit, in all day long in our lives. But are we really being objective or subjective? Well, Pisces energy is naturally very subjective. It's like I'm coming from whatever place I'm coming from. It's the lens that I'm using. And maybe it's a little bit harder to be objective because it's naturally subjective. When we talk about it being mutable, that modality, well, the planets are not the planets, the signs that are mutable, that belong to that particular category, they distribute energy. They're flexible. They're adaptable. They're also sometimes restless. And the reason is because the mutable signs appear as the third month in a season. So, in the third month of a season, we're getting ready to make a change. We're getting ready to do something different. So, it really helps us that that particular energy is flexible. And if it's restless, maybe it's just because it has a foot in both categories. And all of those signs are dual. They have a duality about them, like the Gemini twins and the Virgo goddess and the Sagittarian centaur. And in this case, we're talking about the Pisces fishes. And there's usually two fish, and sometimes they kind of look like a yin yang sign, but they're bound together. And often what we find is sometimes they're moving in two different directions. So here again, when you're talking maybe particularly these signs, and I'm thinking Pisces and Gemini, but it's certainly true of Virgo and Sagittarius as well. Sometimes we go, boy, you just never know where they're going to come from or where they're going to go next. And is that fickleness or is it slipperiness? We're not quite sure where they're going. Well, it's because they've got those two sides. And it is true, you're not necessarily going to know when they're going to flip into the other kind of energy. But that's what they're good at. That's why they can do what they do. They've got those two different directions. So in some ways, that's really encouraging because if you don't like where they're going, well, hang on. Maybe it's going to change. Maybe it's going to go the other direction. But two of the things that we also sometimes talk about, and yet you don't hear the words as much, like one of them is polarity. And traditionally in astrology, you would have heard astrologers talk about whether a sign was male or female, yin or yang. And in this case, all the fire and air signs are yang. They're very left-brained, logical, extroverted, outgoing. And the water and the earth signs, so in this case, Pisces, those signs are sensitive, receptive, right-brained, and they're considered very yin energy. Now, I hope you're getting to see a pattern here because Pisces. Not only is that water receptive, sensitive sign, but now we find out she's also a yin sign as well. So, by element and modality and bipolarity, we're seeing it just kind of keeps the message, keeps coming in the same way. Now, one other thing I want to touch upon briefly is that we often also talk about signs according to their orientation. And what I mean there is their relationship with. In a sense, how we relate with other people, how we relate to the world in general. So, if you hear somebody talk about a sign being very personal, usually you're talking about those first four signs or in terms of the houses. And I think that's one of the easiest ways to understand it, too, is if you look at the astrology chart and think of it as a developmental cycle. Well, the first house, the Aries house, the baby's born. Hey, here I am. I'm crying. Get me what I need. Or, this is me. There is no sense of boundaries quite yet. There's no sense of what belongs to me and what doesn't, or that there's even other people out there. I'm just interested in getting my needs met. What is this all about? Where am I? What's going on? I want to assert myself. So those are very personal houses. The first through the fourth house, what belongs to me? Who are my siblings? How do I talk? How do I walk? How do I explore and begin to explore, this environment that I'm in? So we often call those personal energies. The next four. So if you go houses five through eight, you're talking about interpersonal, because what are we learning at that time? We're starting to go to school, we're starting to integrate with other people. We're having relationships. We're dating. Maybe we're having, you know, by the time you get to the seventh house, you're talking about those committed partnerships. So it's all about how am I relating to other people. But when we get to the last third of the houses and of the signs, really, you're now talking Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, we often call them transpersonal. And I know I use that word a lot when I'm talking to clients. I don't think I use the personal, interpersonal so much, but I do tend to use the transpersonal because, you know, and it's something that I think it's really hard to put your finger on. You know, here again, if you think about Neptune as a planet of transcendence, you know, it's that energy. You don't see it, you don't touch it, you don't smell it so much, but it's about sometimes you're talking to a person and you probably have people like this in your life. Maybe they are Pisces, or maybe, you know, they're one of those other signs I talked about, or maybe they have a lot of planets in those last houses of their charts. Well, they're often talking about their influence in the world, or, you know, those are the people I kind of just categorically say, you know, those are the ones that go and join the Peace Corps. Those are the ones that want to go, you know, rebuild the village after it gets hit by a hurricane. They tend to often think in terms of what their position is in the world, their mission, their purpose, why they came here versus, hey, I want to get a new car. I want to do this, that, or the other thing. Now, there's nothing right or wrong about any of those things. And here again, if you look at your natal chart, if you see a predominance of planets in certain houses, then you know that is your purpose. That's why you came. Did you come to be in relationship with other people? You know, lots of, you know, planets over in the seventh and eighth houses. Or did you, do you have a lot of, you know, planets sitting over in the 11th or 12th? Or do you have a lot of houses in that first like quadrant? Well, maybe you did come as self-development to really figure some things out. And sometimes I think when we just look at that and accept who we are, it's so much easier. We're not making apologies. You know, your friend joins the Peace Corps, your friend goes and you know, it's this spiritual giant. You go, that's not me. That's not why I came. That's not what I'm doing here. So sometimes understanding that quality is important too. And there again, I go back to the solar return. Sometimes if we look at transits in a chart, or if we look at a solar return, we go, ooh, this year is about blah, blah, blah for you. Well, maybe it's because there is a predominance of planets in a certain part of the chart. They're hanging out. So maybe you have periods of being very Piscean, or periods of being very transpersonal, and then other periods that are dominated by some of that other energy. So if you hear that too, then think about it. Pisces definitely, I mean, part of their mission is they want to find that purpose. And oftentimes it's a connection to spirit or to oneness. You know, they may not have exactly what they're talking about, but you'll hear them more often than not talk that way. You know, it's about the collective. It's about being one with everyone and looking for that sense of being connected. That is their purpose. So, you know, when we've got Pisces, we've got the dreamer, the mystic, the poet, the empath. They say things like, I dream, I imagine, I believe, because that's what's important to them. They're chasing a dream. They're trying to figure out how to make real, how to manifest a dream in the physical world. So, you know, and we're not going to go into the mythology, but I can tell you a lot of the myths that are associated with Pisces, there's a lot of mother energy. Sometimes there's a lot of sacrifice energy. You know, this idea, once again, of sacrificing for the collective, you know, losing yourself in a cause, the ability to recreate your life with a new purpose. So you can check some of those out. But here again, because we're, you know, we got such a late start, I know that I need to go quickly through some of these things. But also, Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac. And so I always feel like, especially when I'm talking to a Pisces, or, you know, when I look at this energy, It is like they have little bits and pieces of all the other signs. They're the ones that can really be the chameleon. And in fact, Mark has this story that he tells, and I will admit, I chafe a little bit when he tells it, but I certainly understand. But I resist it. And that is, he said, of some of his Piscean friends, he said, I can always tell you exactly what they were doing or who they were with before I talk to them. And he said, because they just take on their energy. He goes, it's just so obvious. They just soak it up like a sponge, soak up the energy of another person. Now, like I said, that makes me bristle just a little bit because I'd like to think I'm my own person. But I do understand what he means because that's what Pisces is good at doing. They're a chameleon. They can take on the energy. They understand maybe better than any of the other signs what another person is feeling. They can take it on, they can just soak it up. So when we're thinking about Pisces, and here again, think about where is it in your chart? That's where we can be hypersensitive, we're empathic, we're psychic and intuitive, we are impressionable. And I like that word because literally it's like something else making an impression upon us, taking it in, being receptive. They're also very idealistic, incredibly idealistic. And Pisces can be naive. And what I mean by that is one of the signs that I think can be the easiest to deceive. They can become deluded or disillusioned also and confused because they're thinking the best of everybody. They have these high ideals. Pisces to me is the one that more often than not, if they're talking, or if they have a lot of Pisces in their chart and they're talking about somebody they met, and let's say this person has lots and lots of problems, they're always talking about the possibilities of the person, not who they are, not what's really going on with them now, but what the possibilities are. So Pisces is that, like, I can see the diamond in the rough. I know this person is a diamond. Or I know this situation is totally incredible and they truly see it. They have the vision for it. They truly do. But because of that, sometimes they're maybe not very grounded because they're responding to this person in terms of what this person can be and not in terms of who they are right now. So, yeah, they may be a really incredible person, but maybe you shouldn't be trusting them with your money or your children, that kind of thing. But that Pisces, they just hold that vision for another person. They can be romantic. Now, remember too, they can be reclusive, that yin kind of energy. And I'll tell you, they are the escape artists of the zodiac. They truly are. And when I say that, they may be physically right there with you in the room, but they are not there. They are gone. Look at their eyes. They are someplace else entirely. And I know that from personal experience, and I know it from being with people. It's like you got their body, but you don't have them. You don't have their mind. Maybe you don't have their heart because they're flying. They're daydreaming. They're off into some other altered state of consciousness. They're also associated, by the way, with a lot of healing abilities, and they're attracted to the many healing arts, especially what I consider some of the alternative and complementary arts. But which brings me to think about the fact they're ruled by Neptune, the planet of transcendence. And see, this is a different word than transformation that we get with Pluto. Transcendence is to completely move through something. I think Pluto changes it almost like an alchemical reaction. Neptune transcends it, it goes through it. And like the equivalent would be walking through walls or teleportation or time travel. It's the idea that when you see it from a different perspective, you're not playing by the rules of the material universe when you're talking about Neptune. You're talking about being part of the collective, being part of the group. And in fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about some people that have Pisces in their chart, specifically a sun and maybe more. And you'll hear that in some of these quotes that I'm going to give you. It's about being part of this collective. So, yeah, they may be in the room or they may have this job or they may be doing this thing, but in their minds, in their hearts, kind of the essence of who they are, They're in this collective, or they're aspiring to that collective. So, of course, one of the people that always comes up if we're talking about Pisces is Edgar Cayce, you know, the famous clairvoyant and author who had Sun, Mercury, Venus, Saturn, and the North Node in Pisces. And talk about being in an alternate universe, Edgar Cayce. Now, of course, one of my favorites is Albert Einstein. And what I think is a little funny about him is he is a sun sign Pisces, but I always think of him as being more Aquarian, once again, a transpersonal sign. But I think about him as being Aquarius because of the brilliance, because of, you know, the theory of relativity. Seeing things that other people don't see. And it is true that he only has Sun in Pisces. His Jupiter and North Node of the Moon are in Aquarius. He also has a Sag Moon, which, see, I think that's it, an adventurer, you know, that spirit of seeking out the truth. But he also has a lot of Aries in his chart as well, which I think you see all those different energies because it takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of, you know, chutzpah, in a sense, with the Aries to follow something and to not be kind of put off by other people or other people's opinions. But here, I'm going to give you several quotes by Albert Einstein, and I'm sure you know some of your own. As well, but just they're so Piscean. So here's the first one. Reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. Imagination is everything. It's more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all that we know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all there ever will be to know and understand. He also said, I never made one of my discoveries through the process of rational thinking. I believe in intuitions and inspirations. I sometimes feel that I am right. I do not know that I am. And then this one too. Although I'm a typical loner in my daily life. Now, see, I'm not saying all Pisces are loners, but I think there is that quality. Because they're not of the earth somehow. They're just visiting. They're just not really here. Although I'm a typical loner in my daily life, my awareness of belonging to the invisible community of those who strive for truth, beauty, and justice has prevented me from feelings of isolation. You see, that is very, to me, Piscean. Now, that probably also, by the way, really reflects his Aquarian energy. Very much so. In fact, you know, there's a lot of arguments that that's more of an Aquarian statement, but I think it goes very well together with the Pisces sun and the Aquarius energy that he's got, that he may be a loner in his real life, but his awareness is being part of an invisible community. And that's who he feels like he's really part of. Now, George Harrison had Sun and Venus in Pisces. I'm not going to quote him. If you know his music, you know, you know what it is. Then Steve Jobs, I love this. He had a Sun in Pisces. Creativity is just connecting things. When you ask creative people how they did something, they feel a little guilty because they didn't really do it. They just saw something. It seemed obvious to them after a while. That's because they were able to connect experiences they've had and to synthesize things. See, that sounds very Pisces to me. Now, Ron Howard, the producer, you know, the actor, has done so many different things. He's a director. He has Sun, Mercury, and Venus in Pisces. And I think I quoted this in the Power Peak a week or two ago, but see, this is so Piscean. Your creativity has value. You're not wasting your time dreaming, right? Okay, so hopefully you have got this Pisces thing down. And so let's talk a little bit. What happens when the Sun and Mercury and Saturn all come together in Pisces? You know, and not just in Pisces, they're literally, like I said, they're sharing the same astrological space. Remember that Sun is your ego, our ego, how we feel about ourselves, our sense of being an individual, my sense of being me. Well, Mercury is how we think, how we communicate, how we connect the dots. And Saturn, of course, is the disciplinarian. So putting all those ideas together, oftentimes when we see like just Sun and Mercury together, what do we see? We see, a higher capacity for learning. Often that's an optimistic energy as well. We're mentally active, we're self-expressive. Maybe there's a lot going on in our lives that has to do with communication, like we're giving a speech or we're participating in a meeting, we're teaching something, we're learning something. Think Gemini and Virgo, because those are the two signs that Mercury rules. But the other thing is, I am what I think. When the Sun and Mercury are together in somebody's chart, or when they're together in the cosmos, like they are this week, we can very subjective about I am what I think. Now, once again, I can't imagine that people don't do that all the time, but a lot of people don't. They literally are just much more detached from their opinions, from their thoughts than obviously I am or some other people. But this week, on Wednesday especially, but right now, we're in this phase where I am what I think. You criticize my opinions, you're criticizing me. If you don't like one of my ideas, or you tell me I'm wrong about something, then I take it very personally. It's very subjective. So keep that in mind there again. In fact, if you're in a conversation, if you're in a meeting, just realize that people are going to be more subjective and maybe more sensitive, especially we're talking Pisces here, but more sensitive to believing that they are what they think and that they have a hard time separating that out. But also keep in mind, even though this is more expressive energy, in Pisces, we're leaning into intuition and nonverbal forms of communication. So we might find that there's a real surge of imagination and creativity coming out. So once again, I would say if you have something you want to work on, whether or not it's a personal idea, a professional idea, and it involves creativity or you're aspiring towards something, this might be a day that you want to set aside some time and think about, how that's going to look. Daydream. What are your ideas for putting it together? How are you going to manifest that in the world? That might be a very constructive thing to do. Daydream. Put your ideas together or review ideas that you've already had about something. What's it going to look like? But also, if you feel like you're kind of in pretty much a routine or mundane things, even like I said, if you're in meetings or if you're in conversations, try to be the Pisces. Try to feel, see if you can feel what somebody is really saying between the words. Use those nonverbal forms of communication. Practice your intuition. See what's coming out of it. But here's the other thing. We got Saturn at this party, right? Well, Saturn is that planet of discipline and organization. It contains things, which is wonderful because once again, Pisces needs a container. That water needs a container. It needs a shape. You may have these great ideas for a deck of oracle cards or tarot cards, or you've got this great idea for a story. But you need to type it up, or you need to write it up, or whatever. You need to put it into some kind of form. So even though Saturn is very much a double-edged sword, I mean, I know sometimes we just feel like, oh, that Saturn comes along and he slices and dices, and what are we left with? Well, what we're left with is he helps us get rid of the fluff. He helps us get rid of the things that don't belong there. He helps us organize, contain, and strategize things with discipline and organization. So there again, it might be a really good thing because you've said, to me, oh, I want to get this done. I want to get this done. Well, Saturn comes along and says, okay, today's the day. Let's get it done. Let's work on this. Let's come up with a plan. Maybe it's like, okay, so you're going to write something. Let's set aside every Tuesday morning and you're going to write or whatever it is. Saturn wants the plan. But there's also a real seriousness. So, whatever we're doing tomorrow, we may sense that real seriousness of the Sun and Saturn being together. But here's another example I wanted to give you, because this to me, it's very much Sun and Mercury, maybe with Saturn. I love to watercolor, and I belong, in fact, to a class. And this is what I sense in almost everybody that I've ever seen paint, whether, and I don't do oil or acrylics or anything else, but I imagine that with creative process, this is true for many of us. I go to the class and I just want to paint. I don't want to have to think. I don't want to have to spend half of the class strategizing about how am I going to draw this, which part of the flower am I going to put on the painting? I just want to start doing it. Well, and I can tell you, after actually watercoloring for many years, most of the things that I'm not very satisfied with are the things that I gave no thought to. That's it. I just am going to start putting the paint down on the paper. I'm not going to think about, do I wet it first? Do I do this? Do I want that green? Do I want that yellow? I just want to do it. Well, that's part of the fun of it, is I just want to paint. But if I have no strategy, if I have no discipline, if I haven't thought out anything, that's part of the creative process. But it's the part that's sadder. And I can tell you, it's been kind of funny, because in the last week or two, you can just see it in the faces. The teacher comes in and she goes, "Okay, for the first 30 minutes, we're not going to paint. We're just going to talk about what your design is going to be." And you can just see the faces go, "Oh." Or some of the people, they're listening, but they're just sitting there painting anyway. Now, and I understand that, because most of us are like, "I didn't come here to get a math lesson, to get perspective and this, that, and the other thing. I just want to paint." But it's funny that maybe not all creative people do that, but it's such a good example of how Saturn, that strategy, that thoughtfulness, deciding that no, I'm not going to use this whole piece of paper because the dimensions won't be right, or I'm not going to use 20 colors when this really only needs three or four colors, or blending of colors, to not give any thought to it, really does result in maybe my having a good time, but not a product or a painting that I really like. And so when I think about Saturn and Mercury and the Sun coming together, I realize there's a lot of fun there. There's a lot of creativity, but there's also, the more we're willing to be thoughtful and patient and maybe a little cautious, maybe responsible, we're going to come out with something that we like a whole lot better than if we just get in there and dig in and do something. Now, you can go either way, because maybe that's what you need to do, is you just need to cut loose. You just need to do something. So that's something to think about too. And in fact, I think it's funny. As I kept thinking about this energy, and I pulled some cards and just kind of kept working with it in my head, trying to work with it in my head. It's very Piscean, but I'm still working with it in my head. What I realized is a lot of the energy of Wednesday, or those three planets coming together, is very much about being serious, in a sense, about our assets, our qualities, our characteristics, what we're good at, and then allowing those to just come out, and not being, not trying to be somebody else. Just say, "I am serious. This, I can limit myself with Saturn and say, these are the two things I'm really good at. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to try to be a jack of all trades. This is what I'm really good at. And so if that's what I'm good at, I'm going to do it." And then allow that creativity, allow that energy to come through us. So that was one thing that just kind of kept coming, is this is about the seriousness, is about appreciating and respecting yourself and what you're good at and what you like and what you do, and feeling a sense of accomplishment, no matter what it is that you go, "You know what? This is one of my purposes. This is one of the reasons I came to this planet, that I came into this lifetime." To be serious about that, not just to be serious in general, right? But the other thing is, I got this impression of play hard, work hard. This is about, this full range of doing something, not just about being a workaholic, which can be very Saturn in nature. But the third thing I'd say that comes out, and this is the Pisces probably, is that connection to spirit. We feel that purpose, we feel that sense of being in the right place at the right time when we know how to connect to whatever we call it, whether it's an inner voice, whether it's a god or it's a prophet or whatever it is. When we kind of reach, when we go transpersonal, it's not just about what am I going to eat for lunch, but it's what is my purpose? What am I here for? What's my connection to spirit? What's the greater meaning out there for me then there's just this really satisfying sense of I am in the right place at the right time. And so I want to leave you with that kind of thought, because with all that Pisces energy on Wednesday, we're definitely going to feel it. So one other thought I'm just going to throw out there. There are other things going on this week. One of them in particular is on Sunday. And what we're going to see on Sunday is we have Venus, the planet of love, and our values, and it's going to be in a square to Uranus. And I want you to know that's going to be difficult. Venus is in Aquarius and Uranus is in Taurus. And so just be prepared. Sunday is going to be that time when we're going, you know what? You're not the boss of me. But also, I just want more freedom. I want more autonomy in my life. So if there's anything going on, and by the way, this can also have to do with other habits that you have, it can have to do with budgets or spending. If you're feeling like you're all wrapped up and you don't have autonomy, you don't have the kind of freedom that you want in your life, whether that's a relationship with money or it's a relationship with another person, we're going to really be itching to change something, but just on a very mundane level. You know, relationships, you got to go easy on Sunday, because most people are going to be feeling like they just don't have the freedom and the autonomy that they want and need. So if that's true, just give it a little space. Okay, keep that in mind. So thank you for joining me. And for those of you who, like I said, you know, hung in there, even with the technical problems, hopefully by next week, we'll have those all ironed out. And, you know, like I said, I'm just kind of living this every day with a new computer, just trying to make sure that I've got all my software and everything. And there's a learning curve too, because I've updated some software packages, and so I have to figure those out. So thank you for being with me today, and everybody in the chat room, thank you for being there. I'm going to try and make sure that I get over there. I can see a couple of things now, but I didn't even dare want to, you know, go and update that, you know, in case something went wrong. But thank you for being there over on Facebook, and thanks to Jay Varvel, my wonderful producer, who you know, really persevered this morning trying to figure out how to get us online. So thank you. And please stay tuned, because Kelly with Empowerment is coming up next. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology. You can find me on 12listen.com. If you don't see me as available, ask for a callback or for a scheduled call at a time that's good for you. This is 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to Pisces.